Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them." This is the word of the Lord. And this is our text. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to make it through this. My voice is not cooperating with me this morning. So bear with me. It came without warning. Everything seemed to be so ordinary, so secure with the day in and day out routine and the coming and going, sunrise and sunset. It was a comfortable life. Nothing extravagant. For almost 20 years, there was the daily punching of the time clock and the reward that it would bring bi-weekly as the pay for time, which always seemed to have at least a little overtime. It would be deposited into the bank account where those proceeds would cover the costs for living and also provide for the extras that showed up on the family's wish list. The children, two girls and a boy, never had to wonder or worry about how things were being taken care of. They just were. They always had been. They didn't need to know anything otherwise. Their mother worked only part-time in order to be with them before and after school and, of course, on the weekends. And she was there to take care of their needs and the needs of the entire household. Her part-time pay was really a bonus, something to be used for the extras. Christmas was a little more than a month away, and the year's savings for that special season was already being put to use. There was a special savings account for emergencies that could also be tapped if they strayed a little over budget for making things merry and bright, which they always seem to do during that time of year. Well, then it happened. Right in the middle of the workday, every employee at the factory received a memo from the management of the company that the plant would close by year's end, and all the jobs would be moved overseas, and while job training would be offered by the company and severance pay be given, that would not last very long. And so something would have to be done in short order just to maintain stability in their day-to-day life. Without any warning whatsoever, a family's life had been changed, stood on its head. While it may seem difficult to find any good news in this story, we must remember that they still had their health, they still had their love for one another, and if we were the subjects of this story, we would still have our faith. Haven't we heard similar stories like this over the years? Maybe you found yourself in a similar situation, one which came without warning. Before he comes in fiery judgment, God saw to it that his messenger delivers due warning as prophesied in our text for today by the prophet Malachi and John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, known as John the Baptist, came calling those who listened in his day and us in our day to repentance, so each of us might receive the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in humble faith and receive his glorious salvation rather than eternal flames. That's the point of Advent, is to focus ahead to Christ's second coming. John was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy, and he came with a twofold message. It's always the twofold message because it's the twofold message of Scripture, known as law and gospel. His preaching of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins prepared people for the coming of a Savior. Today, through that same message of law and gospel, we are brought from sin to grace, we're brought from death to life, and we are thereby prepared for our Savior's second coming. The preparation is the Lord's, as his word comes to us and works on our hearts, not only creating, but also sustaining us in the faith. So as we continue in this season of Advent, we are called to examine ourselves and, by God's grace and mercy, live as a forgiven people who have been given fair warning by the terrors of the law and given comfort and hope by the very sweetness of the gospel. That same gospel becomes the power to live as God's redeemed and forgiven people, declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness, the darkness of our sins, and into the light of the gospel. We are not a people without warning. The prophets warn us. Even the apostles preach law and gospel to God's people. So we have been warned that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Indeed, we are what the mirror of the law shows us we are, that is, sinners who fall short of the glory of God. And that sin separates us from God, as it did our first parents, as it did in the day when Malachi prophesied our Old Testament reading, which is our text, where we also hear, "From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them." So we see how that carries forward as John went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And some of those there he called a brood of vipers because they were coming out just to see what was going on. They were going to offer lip service, but their hearts would remain hardened in their sinfulness. Unfortunately, the preaching of sin is not popular received in our day. It hasn't been popular received in any day. Many people bristle at being called a sinner, much less, as we confessed earlier, a poor, miserable one. While there are many in our culture who will point out our basic good and the basic good that's in all people instead of the total depravity of all people, there are those who contend that there is no such thing as sin, just some bad decisions, just some poor choices. Some think that when it is preached that we must repent and confess our sins, it is harmful. It's harmful to our self-esteem, and it is precisely that self-esteem that actually gets in our way of confessing, admitting before God and one another that we have failed to keep the statutes of God. Even those of us who embrace the biblical teaching about sin can from time to time become selective when it comes to which ones we want to be accountable for. We all show forth that we continue the tradition of our fathers and mothers of turning away from the statutes of God and not keeping them. That's the evidence of original sin, which leads to actual sin. The things that we do, thought, word, and deed. Yet failure on our part to recognize that we are lost and condemned people and confess our sins has eternal consequences. If we fail to do so, if we think that we are immune from doing so, then we make God out to be a liar and the truth is not in us. Those are St. John's words, which are the Lord's words, not mine. So that we understand that nothing is new under the sun, half-hearted confessions or even the denial of sin were rampant in Malachi's day. That's why the Lord used him to call people in his day to repentance. But when one denies sin and sinfulness, how is it possible to endure the day of the Lord's coming? That's the question that Malachi put before us this morning. How will those entrenched in the folly of their pride be able to stand when he appears? God promises to send a messenger who would give us due warning, who would prepare us for the coming of the Savior by proclaiming words that call us to look into the mirror of the law, to look into our hearts and understand that we've been called to repentance and that we need to repent. We need to repent our waywardness, but then flee to the boundless mercy of Almighty God and receive pardon and peace. Are you prepared? Preparation for the second coming of the Savior begins then with repentance. The messenger calls us to confess our sin. Nathan was God's agent to break the arrogance of King David. Once David was brought to his knees, Nathan delivered the good news to him that the Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die. For us, this means recognizing our inability as sinful people to stand before the holy God. It means that we confess before God and one another that we have sinned against him in our actions, in our thinking, by what we have done, sins of commission, by what we have left undone, sins of omission. For wherever there is sincere sorrow over sin and a confession of that sin, there is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the very reason why God sent his messenger first, that we might endure. And he has promised us that his forgiveness is not just for us, but it's for all. So if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what John was doing out at Bethany beyond the Jordan as the people went out to hear him preach this message so that he could prepare their hearts for the coming of Jesus, his first coming. John the Baptist is the fulfillment of the prophet Malachi's words in our text for this morning. Yet beyond that messenger who would prepare the way is the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the very point of it all, as he always should be. All of God's messengers pointed to him. His coming was to refine and purify us. And he did that by his cross, which was really our cross, but he bore it in our place. He came to give us light and life, and that's what he did. We are as precious to God as silver and gold. And so this is what the Lord provided for us freely. So as we prepare to celebrate the coming of the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, we have been given the assurance through the messenger that we are prepared for the great day of his second coming. Have you ever wondered about a friend or a loved one who has died unexpectedly? Wondered if they were prepared to meet the Lord even though they had been given fair warning throughout their many years? Have you ever wondered if you are prepared to meet the Lord when he comes again in power and might? Know this wonderful truth. We are indeed prepared. We are the baptized. And the Lord has prepared us as we receive the gift of faith, which receives the great gift of forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins, won for us at the cross and offered freely to us through God's means of grace, word, and sacrament. And we get to feast this morning in Holy Communion. It's the Holy Spirit who creates and sustains faith in us through those gospel means. Know that God is faithful even when we're not. Know that the promise that Christ will return is indeed God's promise to us. But we need not be fearful, for since his first coming, he completely atoned for our sins, and by the Holy Spirit's power, our faith has received his gracious forgiveness, his pardon, his perfect peace. Know that what he has begun in us, he will bring to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Know that God's amazing grace is truly sufficient for you, and know that it is sufficient for all who in humble repentance are turned to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We can endure the day of his coming, and we are enabled to stand when he appears. He who promised is faithful, and he has prepared us. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.